Well, now we know what it's like to have bumbling half-wits running the country. Now, this just isn't a president forgetting words and names on occasion. This is an administration responsible for sparking a full-blown economic crisis.
Inflation continues to run at a 40-year high, up 8.5% in the latest retail inflation report.
That means food, meat is up a whopping 15%, eggs 11%, this is on the low side, milk 13%, fruit 10%, cooking oil 15%, energy prices are up even more. Gas prices are up dramatically over last year.
Welcome to American Freedom, sponsored by Young America's Foundation. I'm Mike Pence. In just 14 months, Joe Biden has done more damage to our nation than any president in modern history. With inflation at a 40-year high, record-breaking illegal immigration, gas prices up 70%, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, and now war in Eastern Europe, Americans are catching on at the failed policies of this administration, and it's no surprise. The president's approval rating continues to drop to an all-time low. I believe conservatives have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to save America from decline and decay brought on by progressive policies and the radical left. But in advancing American freedom, we believe it's essential not only that we're the loyal opposition, but that also we unite our movement around a bold, optimistic agenda that will offer a clear and compelling choice to the American people. That's where the Freedom Agenda was born. The Freedom Agenda was assembled by 50 of the brightest stars in the conservative movement, and it deals with issues ranging from national security to our economy to American culture. And the reality is it was pieced together with everything that we've learned from the days of Ronald Reagan to the days of Donald Trump. And we hope it'll be a foundation that you can review and be reminded of all the great ideas and ideals that have been proven time and time again over the course of this movement, and more importantly, over the course of our country. The Freedom Agenda, you can read all about at advancingamericanfreedom.com or go to our Twitter account at American Freedom for more details. But today we're going to talk to three of the luminaries that actually helped to build the Freedom Agenda. We'll begin in just a few moments with the former Secretary of the Interior of the United States. But in just a few moments after that, the head of the Susan B. Anthony List will talk to us about the pro-life planks of the Freedom Agenda. Marjorie Dannenfelser will be with us. And then we'll talk about how we get this economy moving again with my favorite economist in America, Larry Kudlow. But first up, join me in welcoming the former Secretary of the Interior of the United States of America, David Bernhardt.
Well, thank you for visiting with me today. I really appreciate it.
David, you're one of my favorite conservative voices on energy in America. Can you give us your read as an American and as an authority on how far this administration has taken America down on all the progress that we made on energy independence?
Well, you know, when you look back at your time in the administration and your leadership, where we accomplished so much, and in fairness to this president, President Biden was very clear during the campaign to articulate that he had a vision of not developing the nation's resources on federal lands, and to move to a Green New Deal and climate activism. And he laid that out as a candidate. He has filled his administration with activists who fundamentally worked for years on policies that were counter to the production of energy. And then he began day one with an executive order that laid out his vision, canceling the Keystone XL pipeline, demanding that leasing on federal lands be limited. And the list went on and on and on. And they've implemented that in a way that has been consistent. And just to give you a couple of bullet points, we have seen an 80% slowdown in the applications for permits to drill issued by the Bureau of Land Management. In December of 2020, the Trump administration issued 822 applications for permits to drill. And in 2020, December, the Biden administration issued about 162. That was an 80% reduction. And that is a simple example of the contrast between your leadership and stewardship and theirs. And as a result of that, the policy that you've laid out in your freedom agenda is so straightforward and doable. Number one, it says, let's expand our access to these public lands. Let's conduct these sales appropriately. Let's reduce regulation while maintaining our environmental stewardship and ensuring that we have clean air and clean water. And in doing these things, we create an opportunity for American energy independence, American economic support, and frankly, national security. You know far more than I just how important having a plentiful energy supply means to our national and domestic security.
Right. Well, Secretary of the Interior, David Bernhardt is with us, everybody. David, you know, all of those things would be true and important even before we saw war in Eastern Europe.
Right.
And with the heartless Russian invasion of Ukraine, with the proper sanctions that we placed on exporting Russian oil. I mean, I'd ask you two questions. The second question would be, how much more important is it that we unleash American energy with the unfurling war taking place in Ukraine? But even before that, how much President Biden has taken to saying that the reason gasoline prices are up is because of the war in Ukraine?
Yeah, it's completely ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. I mean, I think when he came into office, the average gas price was $2.33 a gallon. Today, the average gas price is $4.06 a gallon. And the last time that energy gas prices were above $4 was in 2008. And what happened in 2008 is shortly thereafter, we had what we call the shale revolution, where entrepreneurs utilizing right. novel technology figured out how to get oil out of these shale rocks. And there was an incredible energy renaissance that occurred there in that period of time. What you and President Trump did is you took that energy renaissance and you applied it to federal lands. And so what we saw was a decrease in the amount of time it took to get a permit, great expansion of activities. And so you freed that up, and it is very meaningful. And right now in the world, we play an incredibly important role of supplying energy to ourselves and to other nations that now are depending on us. And I think it's an important component to not forget the role that that can play at home and abroad.
Am I remembering right that I literally saw President Biden last week saying that gas prices are up because of Ukraine, but what weren't they up? 50% of the increase in gasoline prices took place before a single shot was fired by the Russians in their attack on Ukraine. And so absolutely. Is there any doubt in your mind that shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, curtailing the development of our energy resources on public land, shutting down the Alaska National Wildlife Region, all set into motion this precipitous rise in American energy?
I am absolutely certain that the policies that this administration laid out that are intended to be hostile to American energy have had a tremendous impact on the cost associated with acquiring those resources. And that is unquestionable. And I can understand a politician not wanting to recognize that. But when you set your policies with hostility, and remember, it's not only regulatory hostility, they've also gone out and suggested that financing shouldn't be available to entities that engage in these activities. And that creates a great deal of uncertainty in the capital markets, where you have a policy of a president that says, I want this industry gone. That is quite a stark policy when entities are trying to gain financing and financial opportunities. And so you've seen this concerted effort by them to be hostile to energy. And right. then we now have prices high, and they're looking to find a way to explain it in a different situation. But the reality is stark.
You remember, you got a mind like a steel trap. You remember back in 2008 when he was a candidate, Barack Obama, when he was talking about what we now call the Green New Deal, what was then called cap and trade, what was their effort to essentially drive America away from fossil fuels. He said that his policies would cause utility rates to, quote, necessarily skyrocket. I remember he said
That's absolutely true.
And we fought, we beat back their earlier version of cap and trade and the Green New Deal back when I was in the Congress of the United States. But I really like where you started with our listeners, David, which is in a very real sense. I mean, I think in 14 months, Joe Biden has done more damage to our nation than any president in American history. Inflation at a 40-year high, gasoline prices up 70%, a crisis on our border, the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. But when it comes to energy, where you started is they're just doing what they said they would do.
They're keeping their commitment. And you're right about costs. One component of your plan that I find so positive and important is you say, look, let's not give special subsidies to any particular source of energy. We don't need to have special subsidies. And, you know, they are promoting products that either have to be radically subsidized or prices have to be radically high. And so your point that there's a benefit for some of these prices, not to the American people, but to otherwise non-competitive sources of energy is something that the American people need to think of the next time they go to the voting box.
Secretary David Bernhardt, he was Secretary of the Interior in the Trump-Pence administration, everybody. Breaking news over the Easter weekend was that late on a Friday, the Biden administration presumably announced that they were going to begin to allow some leasing for oil and gas on public lands. But there's less there than meets the eye, isn't there, David? What's your take on that?
That's right. The at the end of the day, the president as a candidate promised to not conduct lease sales. The problem with that is that's not lawful. And so they needed to ultimately conduct some onshore sales. So they announced an onshore sale right on Good Friday. But in doing that, they also made very clear that those sales would be for much smaller geographic areas than industry had nominated, and they would be under different terms. And
much higher royalties, right?
Much higher royalty. That would be one of those different terms, absolutely. Right. And, if you look back, I think that by this time in the Obama administration, they would have conducted about 55 onshore lease sales. And this will be the first, this mini sale will be the first sale the Biden administration has conducted, which really is a stark contrast. But it does, I think, highlight their continued interest, even in the energy dynamics we have right now with prices where they are, with the world situation where they are, even in that, they're going to do as little as they can get away with. And that's their concerted policy.
Secretary of the Interior for the Trump-Pence administration, David Bernhardt is with us. Folks, that you just got a truckload of common sense and great, great free market energy wisdom that helped guide our administration to to become a net exporter of energy for the first time in 70 years. David, thank you so much for being with us on American Freedom. Thanks for your contribution to the Freedom Agenda. Again, folks, you can go to advancingamericanfreedom.com to read in great detail David Bernhardt's handiwork on energy and a broad range of issues. But David, let me just say it is good to be with you. Thank you for your clarion voice for American energy independence. And thank you for your service to America.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
I'm Larry O'Connor, talk radio host in Washington, D.C. on WMAL. In addition to my radio program, I have the distinct honor of being involved in Young America's Foundation as a speaker and member of YAF's National Journalism Center Board of Governors. As a father of college and soon-to-be college-age kids, I'm so proud of my affiliation with YAF. YAF is the principal youth outreach organization of the conservative movement. Every year, YAF introduces thousands of students to the ideas of free enterprise, individual freedom, a strong national defense, and traditional values. YAF hosts inspiring student conferences, brings leading conservative speakers like me to hundreds of high school and college campuses, and promotes activism initiatives with thousands of Young Americas for Freedom members across the country. The foundation also preserves President Reagan's beloved Rancho del Cielo in California and recently acquired the Ronald Reagan Boyhood Home in Illinois, ensuring the ideals of our 40th president carry on to the next generation. Friends, YAF is doing the work our high schools, colleges, and universities refuse to do. Educating and inspiring the next generation with the values upon which our great nation was founded. To find out how you can get more involved with YAF or support their ongoing fight for freedom, head to YAF.org or call 800-USA-1776. That's YAF.org, 800-USA-1776.
Well, welcome back to American Freedom, sponsored by Young America's Foundation in Washington, D.C. This is Mike Pence coming to you from my studio right here in the state of Indiana. Thanks again to David Bernhardt for joining us to talk about the Freedom Agenda and the energy elements that he helped us to build. Now we're going to turn our attention to the Freedom Agenda's focus on American culture. And as I said, when we assembled this agenda, we did so with 50 of the brightest stars in the conservative movement. When it comes to the right to life, when it comes to defending the unborn, Marjorie Dannenfelser is simply the leading voice in America, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, a friend of mine for many, many years, and a woman who I think is just where we all need her to be at such a time as this. Marjorie Dannenfelser, thank you so much for your contributions to the Freedom Agenda, to its elements on American culture, and welcome to American Freedom.
Well, thank you. Right back at you for leading this moment. It's so vital. Thank you.
I told folks they can check out the Freedom Agenda at advancingamericanfreedom.com, but Marjorie, you know that the very first section of the Freedom Agenda is not on the economy, it's not on national security, it's on American culture. And the very first thing that we talk about is the right to life and ending taxpayer funding for abortion, ending funding to Planned Parenthood of America, ending the assault on faith-based adoption and foster care agencies, supporting crisis pregnancy centers and the like. Tell us how important it is to have a positive agenda at this moment in history for where we go as a movement.
Oh my goodness. You asking me that question is quite humbling, because you've led this with your voice and your vision for so many years, not just on the "we won't pay for it" piece of it, but what we are, who we are as a nation. You've said this over and over again, and I try to echo it and communicate it in my own work state by state, and that is that this right is the font for every other right. If you don't get this right, it's very difficult to get other rights in line with truth. If you do get it right, if you do affirm the right to life, then the idea of the dignity of the human being informs everything that you do. The idea that if you understand and communicate as you do, and so many in the pro-life movement attempt to do, communicate the dignity and the humanity of the human being, it informs all other policies. So it's so vital to get it right. And I'm so grateful that you do. And we're in a moment where it's going to be in the middle of conversation in a way that has not been in 50 years. So getting it right now is really important.
It's as you helped to build this part of the Freedom Agenda, that the Freedom Agenda literally opens with a commitment to honor the God-given worth and dignity of all people. And you said that just so very eloquently. I was proud to be vice president in the most pro-life administration in American history in one aspect of after another, whether it be appointing conservatives to our federal courts, whether it be reaffirming the Mexico City policy, whether it be making it possible for states to defund Planned Parenthood of America. We made incredible strides. You were there every single step of the way. But how times have changed, Marjorie. I know we're looking at an enormously important court case just around the corner, but give our listeners a sense of the pro-abortion agenda that's in the saddle from the White House to Capitol Hill.
I'd like for everyone to know that. And then I want to back up and explain how we are where we are. So there is no question that we are at a pivot point in history when it comes to life because of the makeup of the Supreme Court, the case that they are hearing. They're going to hear a case that's come out of Mississippi that tests whether their 15-week limit on abortion is constitutional or not. And so this Supreme Court will ask one question only, and that is there any is any pre-viability limit on abortion constitutional? And that is a big question that they've agreed to answer. They've right. agreed to explore. If right. the answer is yes, that overturns Roe versus Wade. Even if they put it in a different light, it does, because Roe and its companion decision, Doe v. Bolton, allows abortion up until the end, taxpayer funded without question. So that's what's on the table. It's huge. It's the overturn of Roe versus Wade after 50 years. But I want everyone here listening right now to know two things. That there was an idea that we could, using the tools of democracy, elect a president, an administration, after a very pro-life Senate that would appoint Supreme Court justices, that would hear a case that could overturn Roe versus Wade. And there is only one reason that happened, and that is Trump-Pence. That's the only reason that we're in this case. It's the only reason that we're here sooner than we even thought. I think many thought that this was just gonna be the desert that we would be in as a country forever, that the pro-life movement would slave over this. We would always be, fighting against the forces that were insurmountable. But what happened was you and our president appointed justices, and you forced it in certain, we had three Supreme Court justices, and you supported a Senate that would confirm them. And then now we have a case to test Roe versus Wade, overturn it, and return to legislatures, including the Congress, but all state legislatures and the US Congress, to finally legislate and catch up with the moral fiber of at least the rest of the world has set out. And, Mr. Vice President, Governor, Congressman, Father, all the things that you have been have prepared you and the rest of us for this moment. And I am incredibly grateful.
Well, Marjorie, I'm very humbled by that, but your summary of the importance of this moment with the Dobbs case coming before the Supreme Court is extremely eloquent. And we have a real chance. I believe in our lifetimes we will see Roe versus Wade sent to the ash heap of history where it belongs. And it may well happen this year. So in the time that we have remaining, talk to me about that. The Susan B. Anthony List, folks, is the premier pro-life organization in America supporting women and men who are standing for the right to life for public office at every level. And I just commend Marjorie's team, SBA list, to your attention, everyone that cares about the sanctity of life. But long before the elections arrive this fall, we might be in a post-Roe America. And talk to us about what's happening in states around the country. States are enacting pro-life laws. They're preparing for that day. Conversely, we're seeing some states around the country that are authorizing abortion all the way up to the moment of birth, making pledges that if Roe goes down in the Supreme Court, that they'll work to defend it there. Talk to us about the strategy in this movement to renew American culture by restoring the sanctity of life if Roe versus Wade is overturned, as we all hope and pray.
So there's the media, there's reality, and then there's the future. So the media has basically, that is the legacy media, is ignoring this because it is not on their narrative. They did not see this coming, and they do not want to talk about it before the decision that is going to be late June, early July. They don't want to talk about it before then because they'd rather talk about that revolutionary moment and try to cast it in their own terms as we do midterm elections. So that's the media's, I think that's the media's strategy. That's why it is so quiet right now, even though it is a revolution in our country, in my opinion, in so many ways, in terms of human rights, also politically, culturally, in so many ways. But people who are paying attention, that don't need the media to tell them what they're thinking, are governors, people running for the Senate and the House, future presidential candidates who are digging in, thinking about what does the future look like in a post-Roe versus Wade world? Who should we be as a country? So what's happening is there are governors stepping up all over the country, looking with visionary acumen at what their state consensus is, at the strongest consensus that they can come up with, their own states. It's going to be different every state. Also looking at what the future of chemical abortions, which is what the left has decided is the way to circumvent our laws and get chemicals inside the homes of women who are desperate and leave them alone with a pill and a pat on, and not even a pat on the back, but just human suffering and visiting that point of abortion and the death of their children every day. And so there's the chemical abortion. Many of these governors are getting ahead of heroic governors all over the country. So for instance, in Oklahoma, they've passed a 15-week, a life at conception. They've passed pretty much every bill you can pass. The governor of Florida, DeSantis, passed a 15-week limit just the other day. I think the big question for us all, Vice President, is how we figure out what the most ambitious looks like. This is the thing that when I'm talking to all these governors, I really am. We've had meetings with 22 so far. And the question on the table is, what is your state law? What is the pregnancy care center prepared for? And what is the strongest consensus that you can build? And I think that is the case also that we need to ask our Congress, our US Congress, federal candidates coming up in the system and future presidential candidates. That's the question for anyone running for any office anywhere where you can have a moment to change history. So I think it's a question that you are grappling with all the time. I know.
Marjorie Dannenfelser is with us. She is the president of the Susan B. Anthony List. If you are not yet aware of or participating in the SBA list, I encourage you to go to sba-list.org. This is the premier organization in the country supporting women and men who are standing for the right to life, standing for elections all over the country at every level. And that's ultimately the key here, isn't it, Marjorie? It's about making sure if the Supreme Court of the United States, with including those three great justices we appointed, if they give us a new start on life in America, then it falls to the governors, it falls to the state legislatures, and it falls to each and every one of us to make sure that we have leaders that'll cherish the sanctity of life in states across the country. And you would know, give me, as we step off here, you know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. What is now has been before. People may not know how true that is of abortion in America and of Susan B. Anthony. The namesake of your organization is most known for helping win women the right to vote, but she was equally adamant about ending abortion in America. And 140 years ago, she led the charge, once women won the right to vote, that ended abortion in every state in the Union. And it is a remarkable piece of history and a source of great pride for, I know, the SBA list. But speak to that, if you will, as we get ready to let you get back to your day.
Yeah, I just think the link between every human rights cause of our time in American history has been supported by the founding documents and the tools of democracy. So whether it was suffrage or it was abolition, the civil rights movement, all of these had the common thread of the dignity of the human person and what we owe the human being. When it came to suffrage, I was on the commission to celebrate the anniversary of the 50th anniversary of suffrage recently, all during COVID. And it was an exploration once again of, for me personally, not everybody on the commission, but for me personally and many on it, about the linking of human rights, that the rights of the child are intimately linked to the rights of the woman, that when you break that bond, you learn that you cannot possibly build human rights on the broken rights of another people. It just doesn't work like that. The economy of grace and the economy of human rights can't sustain hurting other human beings while you're trying to build up somebody else. It just doesn't work that way. So this movement, I think at this particular time of polarization in so many ways, I think brings together all the human rights cords in a true intersectionalism that the other side talks about, so that we affirm the human rights of all, starting with the most basic one, the human right to life.
Marjorie Dannenfelser is the president of Susan B. Anthony List, everybody. She's joined us on American Freedom Today. Go to sba-list.org to get behind this great pro-life leader and her organization and all the great candidates around the country that they're helping. And thanks for helping us put together the Freedom Agenda. The very first plank of the Freedom Agenda is the right to life. And its architect, Marjorie Dannenfelser, has been with us today. So thanks very much, Marjorie. And thanks for all you do for life and for America. We couldn't be more.
I'm so proud to support you, and I'm glad to see you back on the radio, the Rush Limbaugh decaf. I know he'd be you back here.
Thanks, Marjorie. Great having you on. This is American Freedom. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Freedom, sponsored by Young America's Foundation. I'm Mike Pence, and today we're talking about the Freedom Agenda, which is a positive, bold, optimistic agenda that an organization I founded called Advancing American Freedom produced roughly a month ago, and it's got people all over the country talking. It wasn't something that we put together ourselves. We gathered 50 of the brightest stars in the conservative movement to help us assemble an agenda on American culture, American leadership, and American economic opportunity. And the man who helped us build the foundation for American opportunity and pro-growth policies at the center of the Freedom Agenda was none other than Larry Kudlow, famously a star of television broadcasts, Fox Business Network, every day, 4 o'clock Eastern, but the chair of the National Economic Council in the Trump-Pence administration, and truly one of the great free market voices in the English-speaking world. Larry Kudlow, thanks for joining us for American Freedom.
Thank you, Mike Pence. My honor. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's so good to be with you. I want to talk about the Freedom Agenda, but it is amazing to think of what's happened in this economy in the last 14 months. The inflation at a 40-year high, gasoline prices up 70%, a crisis on our southern border. Larry, let me ask you, we both walked out of the White House on the very same day. Did you know it would be this bad, this fast? And if so, why?
Well, I don't think anybody knew. I don't think anybody knew at that point. However, when you look back on it, as these things always are, probably the worst thing that was done was the $2 trillion stimulus package. It was billed as a COVID package, but it was not bipartisan like the packages we authored in 2020. It hardly gave any money to COVID. It was mostly a traditional big government spending bill. It was a bill that was financed through deficits, and those deficits were essentially indirectly purchased by the Federal Reserve to create a tremendous gusher of new money. And that was the inflationary turn.
That set off the inflation.
That was the inflationary. It really did trigger it.
Yeah.
And you've got Democrat economists, at least a few honest ones, who don't generally side with us on economic policy. But you've got people like Larry Summers and Jason Furman who would agree that that package was unnecessary overload, too much demand, too much spending, too much money creation. So the inflation rate, which in late 2020 was under 2%, you know, it starts surging March, April, May, June. So it goes from under 2, it goes to 3.5, goes to 5, and then it goes to 7. This is before Putin invaded Ukraine. So the idea that it's Putin's inflation is just utter nonsense. And, you know, the moral of the story is, to use Newt Gingrich's phrase, big government socialism doesn't work. Overregulation for a centrally planned economy doesn't work. The jihad against fossil fuels was a terrible idea, as we have, you know, record prices at the pump, record crude oil prices, and record natural gas prices, and no alternative. And there was no Green New Deal alternative the fossil fuels, and that's part of the problem. So they reversed a lot of the Trump-Pence policies. And I'm not saying we were perfect, but we were, you know, we were on it. We had record low unemployment and poverty came down and real wages went up. The Trump-Pence tax cuts should be made permanent. That was one of the themes of our tax day show today. And the Bidens rejected that.
Yeah, right. We just all passed painfully through tax day in America. And what did you say, Larry? You said it's okay to say happy Passover and happy Easter?
Happy Passover is fine. Happy Easter is fine. Happy tax day is not fine.
No, it's not fine at all. Well, you helped us build the Freedom Agenda's opportunity foundation. And the first thing was to liberate the American people from oppressive taxation and bureaucracy. We're actually calling, with your guidance, at cutting individual and tax rates, but and making permanent, first and foremost, the Trump-Pence tax cuts, but moving forward with additional tax reform. This administration is going the opposite direction, right? I heard President Biden just the other day lecturing about the need to raise taxes, and with a $30 trillion national debt and a runaway inflation in the country today, how soon before we see him trying to drive a tax increase, Larry?
Well, look at his budget, both Build Back Better, which we killed, but his latest budget has 36 tax hikes, including 11 tax hikes on fossil fuels. And whether it's individual or corporate or capital gains would be the highest taxes in the world in the OECD developed countries. It would be number one. And by the way, we put our tax rates above China. So this is not a happy tax day idea from Mr. Biden, and it needs to be stopped. They will not let go of this, although I don't frankly think they have the votes to stop it. But the lesson should be learned. Higher tax rates will slow growth. And by the way, the economy is going to be faltering with 8 to 10% inflation. We don't need that. We have stagflation right now. We don't need higher taxes. We don't need more regulations. We do need more fossil fuels. We do need to close the border in the south with Mexico. But I want to just make this point, Mike Pence. For 50 years, actually more than 50 years, let me do my math here. Yeah, 53 years from 1947. After World War II, from 1947 up to the year 2000, The U.S. economy grew at 3.6% per year after inflation, 3.6%. Now, in the new century, 21 years, from 2000 to 21, the economy has only grown at 1.8%, 1.8. Now, here's my take. If you cut tax rates, simplify the code, broaden the base, you go back to energy independence.
Right.
If you stop the Biden regulatory assault, those three factors right there, you would have a chance, first of all, to underpin a balanced budget strategy, to stop the debt financing, which is so inflationary, and you would actually grow this economy between 3 and 4% a year. That's my point. These numbers may be boring, but the difference between 3.6 and 1.8 is incredible. Let's take real family wages, typical blue-collar workers, middle America. That's what you're talking about. Productivity, which enhances capital formation and innovation and new technologies. That's what you're talking about. Low unemployment. That's what you're talking about. And revenues would come pouring in, that would allow us to finance.
And that's how you balance a budget. Right.
And that's how ultimately you can have a balanced budget strategy, right, which is what you're talking about. That's what we printed in your Freedom Agenda documents.
Right.
And I think the country would welcome that. The country. But we can grow, Mike, twice as fast as we've been growing. That's the key point.
That's astonishing. Larry Kudlow is with us here on American Freedom. And one of the architects of the Freedom Agenda, which you can read all about at advancingamericanfreedom.com. $30 trillion of national debt, Larry. And will we ever have a balanced budget again if we don't get back to 3 to 4% growth in this country?
No, we will not. The pipe dream. It's essential. That's why these building blocks are so important. And by the way, we do not need inflation. Inflation will smoke up your revenues in the short run, but then when the Fed takes the punch bowl away, it'll lead to recession. That's the threat for 2023 and 2024, recession threat. We're going to go from stagflation to recession. At least that's the high risk. And my point is, again, all the way back to John F. Kennedy, through Ronald Reagan, through Donald Trump and Mike Pence, lower tax rates produce higher tax revenues without inflation. They pay for themselves through job creation, real wages, and productivity, and higher family incomes. Now, the challenge will be, Mr. Vice President, to slow down domestic spending. Mm-hmm. That's the challenge, to put a freeze on discretionary domestic spending. Not the military, but the domestic spending part, not the entitlements, or at least the large entitlements. But we need to assert workfare. There should be work requirements, which is what we had for 25 years until Biden took them away. That's essential to get people back to work, get the labor force participation rate back up. That will help, with job creation. These are long-run improvements, but they're vital. My only point is the idea of secular stagnation, which we got from our Democratic friends during the Obama years, and which Biden is promoting in his own budget, 2% growth or less, that should be thrown out the window with pro-growth policies. It can be done. A freedom agenda. That's what it is.
Larry, one last thing before we let you go. Thanks again for being with us on American Freedom, sponsored by Young America's Foundation. And if you like what you're hearing, everybody, you can read about the economic policies at the center of our freedom agenda at advancingamericanfreedom.com. How important would it be to unleash American energy? War is raging in Ukraine after the heartless Russian invasion. We have rightly sanctioned their energy sector, oil and gas. But gasoline prices were going through the roof before the first shots were fired in Ukraine. How important would it be in getting this economy turned around to unleash American energy?
Well, it's a key ingredient. It's an essential ingredient. You know, look, in the long run, it's funny, all this climate change stuff, there is no existential threat. I'm not a climate denier. I'm an all of the above kind of guy. But I think people will see that going forward, natural gas
and nuclear power are going to be absolutely essential. And unfortunately, the Bidens have ruled both of them out. I mean, nuclear power is the ultimate renewable, but natural gas is the ultimate clean burning fuel. I mean, for example,
right,
if we exported more LNG to China and India, let's just take that for a minute. Take the blinders off, open up the spigots full, stop denying permits, which is what the Bidens have done. Start exporting LNG to China and India. If they used LNG, nat gas, liquefied natural gas, they would stop using coal. And in so doing, they would have a substantial reduction in carbon emissions. So you want to save the planet? Try that strategy. Furthermore, if we unlock the spigots for natural gas and LNG exports, maybe we could wean Europe off of Russian natural gas. I mean, you know, Trump-Pence policies, it was we who said no to the Nord Stream pipeline.
That's okay? Right.
And one of the first things Biden did was repeal that. It's a huge mistake. It was a gift to Vladimir Putin. So I'm just saying, for a variety of reasons, inflation, growth, jobs, carbon emissions would come down so much if we unlocked, really just open the spigots full throttle for natural gas. And by the way, we have some very good innovative nuclear power ideas now, these modules that could be put into place. That's a tremendous advantage. But the greenies don't like it. And Biden is being held hostage by the greenies. And that's a terrible mistake.
Larry Kudlow has been with us, folks, here on American Freedom. Larry, thank you so much for your indefatigable voice for free market economics and for America. I'm invigorated every time I see you on television, every time I hear you on the airwaves. And you know, I've been a fan my whole adult life. So thank you for all you do for freedom. Thanks for your part in helping to assemble the American opportunity elements of the freedom agenda, and every continued success to you, Larry Kudlow. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Mike. My honor. Take care.
Well, that was the voice of Larry Kudlow, who was one of the architects of the freedom agenda. You can learn more about it by going to advancingamericanfreedom.com, or you can keep listening to this podcast. On our next broadcast, we'll be joined by three more architects of the freedom agenda: former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, former Governor Scott Walker, and the former campaign manager for Trump for President Kellyanne Conway. They all helped us build this positive, bold, optimistic agenda built on freedom. So for Young America's Foundation and for American Freedom, this is Mike Pence. See you next time.